This weekend starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The habit that can bring happiness. I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Mother's Day weekend. Glad you're with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
New research says we all need a mantra, a positive phrase that we can repeat to ourselves. Experts say can make you feel calmer and healthier.
Two other health-related items today, too. Recognizing Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month and National Women's Health Week.
For your pets, new upscale food with names like meat lasagna and beef stroganoff. But do your dogs really care?
No. And what we need now is just more wires, right, in this wireless world.
So this is me just sort of getting up on my soapbox about a tech problem that I find pretty annoying, which is that, you know, I have a smart watch and wireless headphones and sort of all this other tech, and then I find at the end of the day, especially when I'm traveling, that plugging it in is actually sort of a nightmare.
Haley Tsukuyama at the Washington Post on being tied down more than ever with cords. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month. Here to discuss his breathtaking story is Ray Poole, a volunteer with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, also author of a book called Lessons from a CF Corner Man, 38 Lessons I Learned During My Wife's Illness and Lung Transplant. He lives in Kentucky. Ray, start with the basics. What is CF? What's the cause?
Well, cystic fibrosis is a genetic disorder, and it primarily affects the lungs, but it also affects the digestive system and sinuses and a lot of the different systems of about 30,000 people in the U.S. and about 70,000 people worldwide. The cause for CF is basically a faulty gene, the CFTR gene, and it doesn't produce a certain protein that facilitates the chloride channel. So essentially, you know, long and short of it is, you know, your body will produce kind of a thicker mucus and it'll clog up the different organs. Right now, there's not a cure per se, but there's a lot of hope. There's new drugs out there that affect the root cause of the disease. And, you know, each new drug that comes out is usually focused on one particular mutation. And there's, you know, quite a few mutations. But the CF Foundation has done a whole lot of work in supporting the development of those drugs. And that's why I volunteered for them up in Wisconsin, and I still volunteer for them here in Kentucky, because the work that they do is really good. The volunteers that they have are really dedicated. And, you know, they're part of the reason why, you know, the life expectancy has increased from early childhood all the way up to early 40s. So, you know, we're very optimistic about where things are going with that.
All right. So I know you've got, front and center experience with this with your wife. Explain how this developed.
Well, I started dating my wife in college. She had cystic fibrosis. She asked me if I knew what it was, and I lied. I said that I did, and she still gave me an 8-page article to read about it. And basically, we've been together for about 17 years. It's progressive, so I saw her decline over the years. But in 2014, she declined quite a bit and went into respiratory failure on New Year's Eve and was on a ventilator for 6 months waiting for a transplant.
Jeez. Wow. All right. So then what?
Well, you know, over the course of that process, you know, there were a lot of ups and downs, but we were rejected by 5 consecutive transplant hospitals. But finally, Pittsburgh said they would evaluate us. We flew on an emergency medical flight up there, and she was able to get a transplant on June 18th of 2015, which at that point, I don't think she had very many days left. She'd heard many times over the course of that year that she probably wouldn't survive for a few more days, and that transplant saved her life.
How's she doing now?
She's doing very well. She's almost 2 years post-transplant. She's up and moving around. She's able to drive herself places. We're off the ventilator, you know, for quite a while now. And her lung performance tests are higher than ever.
We're speaking with Ray Poole, member of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation at one point. Also author and speaker, and he's got a book called Lessons from a CF Corner Man, as his wife has been dealing with cystic fibrosis. So how do you learn to become supportive, say, of a friend or relative who's going through this?
You know, I think a big part of it is listening. You know, a lot of people, you know, want something, you know, they want that person to feel better. They want to provide hope and that sort of thing. But, you know, it kind of rings a little false if you're telling them, oh, everything is going to be all right, when, you know, they know that everything, you know, is probably not going to be all right. So you kind of have to, you know, have a certain level of honesty. And I think also just, you know, recognize that, you know, you've got to support them in what they want, even if it's not what you want for them. And that was another one of the lessons in the book. You know, it's not always a big grand gesture. You know, you'd cut your right arm off for somebody, but in the end, really, it never comes down to that. It comes down to spending an extra 20 minutes and brushing her hair before you leave, you know, to go home. So it's, you know, it's a little bit different than what you would necessarily expect, because there's not that much that you have control over, and all you can do is try to provide support. The other thing to try to remember is, you know, everything's not all doom and gloom. You know, there's a lot of hope out there. And also, when you go through some of these tough situations, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to smile. On the website, I've got a page that's just dedicated to how to hold your wife's pocketbook while she's in the doctor's office and still look pretty cool. So, you know, I think you've got to kind of try to put things in perspective and try to keep a positive mood, not just for yourself, but for them as well.
Thanks, Ray. Interesting, right? Good story. Ray Poole, volunteer with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Also, the book is called Lessons from a CF Corner Man. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Ready for hundreds of millions of potential new customers? Come to a two-day conference in Detroit in June to hear about Alibaba, the Chinese version of what's described as Amazon plus Google. Today, China represents an unprecedented opportunity for American business owners and entrepreneurs. Alibaba, an e-commerce platform, can connect you with 500 million consumers. You can buy and sell anything. Learn more about the worldwide marketplace of Alibaba at Gateway 17, June 20th to the 22nd. Meet experts, make relationships, and learn from companies already in China. You'll also hear Jack Ma, the ultimate entrepreneur and China expert. Gateway 17 has limited availability, but our listeners can save 50% off the registration fee by going to gateway17.com and using the code DEAL when you register. That's gateway17.com, GATEWAY17.com, and enter DEAL. 50% off the registration fee, but only if you use DEAL when you sign up at gateway17.com. Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. Do you have a personal mantra? Experts say you should. New research shows that repeating a positive phrase or mantra to yourself creates new pathways between neurons in your brain, conditioning you to feel calmer and healthier. How about that? Here's This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
It's a great way to calm yourself down, repeating a mantra. But how do you pick one? Elizabeth Bernstein of the Wall Street Journal has been investigating the happiness habit and has some advice for us. Elizabeth, first of all, what is a mantra?
A mantra is a phrase, a short phrase, could even be one word that you repeat over and over to yourself, a positive phrase. That's very key.
When should we use one?
Well, the beauty of this is a mantra works really well for calming our mind, getting rid of negative thoughts. There's all this science behind it. It can lower our blood pressure, lower our stress hormones. It can boost our endurance if we're doing something physical. It can also make us perceive that we're putting out less effort, again, if we're running or doing something physical. But the most interesting thing to me is it calms the brain. And again, this is research-based. And the part of the brain it calms is the part, it's called the default mode network. It's a part that's responsible for our self-criticism. So that's where a mantra is really beautiful, where it comes in.
Elizabeth, why does this work, or how exactly does it work?
Well, they don't really know, but they do see that it's changing sort of the way the neurons in our brains connect. So basically, it's this. If you have a negative phrase that you're telling yourself, you tell yourself something horrible, you know, I'm always going to be alone, or I always fail. If you tell yourself repeated negative things, that thought becomes stronger and stronger in your brain because it's building very strong neural connections. So you want to tell yourself positive things and build strong positive neural connections. And that's where these mantras come in.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein of the Wall Street Journal. Is this something that goes back thousands of years, really?
It does. It's amazing. It goes back, you know, before the Common Era. Long before Jesus Christ, yoga was coming up. And when yoga started to be meditative, when people started to use it to meditate several centuries BCE, this is where it came up. They started to use mantras. And there's still people still use those mantras. Om is one of them. But you can, you know, create your own mantra. That's the beauty of it. Whatever speaks to you that's short and positive.
You mentioned before it can be one word or probably something, a few words that are simple. Give us some examples and how do you go about picking one for yourself?
You know, so some examples would be, you know, you can do this, you've got this. I talked to people who said, you know, one man tells himself QTL. It stands for quality time left. He used it when his wife was dying last year to remind himself, we have time, let's make this good time, instead of focusing on the negative. So that's, you know, several of them. I've talked to a woman who went through terrible health issues, gained 50 pounds, lost her hair, and she would tell herself, I'm mighty, mighty. I'm a brick house. I'm mighty, mighty. So, you know, from the old Commodore song. So it can be anything that really speaks to you and tells you really what you need to hear.
Should you have more than one mantra or different things for different situations?
Exactly. So I talked to some experts on how to do this because just any old mantra is not, if it doesn't speak to you, you know, it doesn't do anything for you emotionally, it doesn't really matter. Essentially, the original mantras thousands of years ago were prayers. These mantras are sort of like a prayer, whether you're religious or not. It's your hope for yourself, what you'd really like to see. So they have to speak to you. So just do it. You know, the Nike saying is not going to be your mantra, probably. So you want to have a few. Like you said, you want to have a few so that, you know, different situations may call for a different one. One other interesting way that psychologists say you can pick your mantra is to picture yourself as an older, wiser person. And what would that person, that older, wiser you, tell yourself now? What advice would it give the you today? And then turn that into a short mantra, whatever that was.
If you get too many, though, could you get confused?
Yeah, you got to have just a few, two, three. You can't have so many. The key is this is something we all tell ourselves negative things. We just do, whether we know that. So this is something you sort of got in your back pocket. You've got something short, sweet, positive. It's your go-to. It's there. You don't have to search for it. You don't have to think about it. It's just your go-to saying that you tell yourself to pump yourself up.
This weekend's Jennifer Kashinka with Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein. Elizabeth has a new one, by the way, for herself. It's called Fortune Favors the Brave. I use one. It's if it is to be, it is up to me. And my high school soccer coach once told me, luck is the residue of preparation and opportunity. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Weekend. Glad you're with us. Ever notice how there are not enough cords for our cordless society these days? Haley Sukiyama, tech writer at The Washington Post, says as she adds more cordless, smart, and rechargeable stuff to her life, she's run more into a mundane but real issue. She still has too many cords to deal with when it's time to charge them. Haley, your experience.
Well, so this is me just sort of getting up on my soapbox about a tech problem that I find pretty annoying, which is that, you know, I have a smart watch and wireless headphones and sort of all this other tech. And then I find at the end of the day, especially when I'm traveling, that plugging it in is actually sort of a nightmare. And so, you know, in some cases I kind of want my old watch and my old headphones because that spares me having to find an outlet.
Boy, you mentioned in the story you actually have like a specific bag you bring that has your cords in it for stuff?
I do. I mean, I realize that I am, you know, I'm more an edge case than, I mean, I'm not exactly a normal tech user, right, because I'm a tech reporter, so I'm always carrying around a lot of stuff. But yes, I have a cord bag, you know, slides in right alongside my toiletry bag, and I actually travel with a power strip that has USB plugins and, you know, extra outlets.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Such is my life now.
Jeez, because, like hotel rooms, for example, don't have enough adequate outlets, or they're not convenient enough, or how do you perceive that?
Yeah, so definitely I would say, particularly if you're going to older hotels, and, you know, if I'm traveling for work, I'm not always going to the fanciest hotels. Got to save the company some money.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times they just, you know, a lot of buildings were not built for sort of the volume of things that we have to plug in. So there are a lot of times when I'm sitting in a hotel room going, all right, well, I could unplug that lamp. and sit in darkness so that I can use my laptop. So it is sort of a funny, you know, it's not the biggest problem in the world, but it is, you know, I think an annoying one, and it's based on the reception I've gotten, one that resonates with people.
So this whole idea of freedom from cords, that's it's a myth?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say it's a myth, yes. Or at least, you know, it comes with this trade-off that I think we don't always think about, right? You think, okay, well, it's cordless, it's wireless, that's great. But then you don't realize that actually still you have to plunk it in at the end of the day. It adds to your evening ritual, I think. And, yeah, it can be difficult even to find a place to plug it in.
We're speaking with Haley Sukiyama, tech reporter at The Washington Post. She's written a piece entitled "The Wireless Future Ties Us Down More Than Ever." So you know this as well as anybody. Is it going to get worse before it gets better?
So I think that that is a possibility. You know, I tried to kind of come up with solutions. You know, I don't like just to complain and not offer solutions. So I'm just trying to think of ways that we could solve this. But really the only way that I can think of is sort of a wider spread adoption of wireless charging technology, right, where you have a plate or something built into your countertop that lets you charge your devices. But, you know, that is going to take a while, and we're seeing more and more of these smart devices, right? Smart belts, smart jackets, smart shoes, and, you know, some of them require to be charged overnight. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see, as we see more smart devices, people are actually going to have to make some very practical decisions about what they actually want to be plugging in at the end of the night.
Boy, how about on the other end, though, as you mentioned before, say older hotels? I mean, could they potentially be losing guests if they don't offer some sort of upgrade soon?
Well, I mean, I think that it would certainly benefit a lot of those older hotels, you know, to because they're in the hospitality business, to sort of look at how they could rewire or look at how they could solve these problems, you know, maybe even just put more power strips in the rooms. You know, it doesn't have to be too fancy. I do think, though, I've heard from a couple people that, you know, when they're looking at homes or looking at apartments, that is a determining factor, sort of whether there are enough outlets in these buildings, and, you know, sort of how much electrical work they'd have to do to support their modern lifestyle. So, you know, I think it's probably, again, not high on people's priority list, but it is something worth thinking about just in terms of, you know, convenience and the way that we live today.
There's Haley. Haley Sukiyama, tech writer at The Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Thanks for being with us, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Thanks for spending part of your Mother's Day weekend with us. Coming up this half hour, singer Michelle Williams joins us in a few minutes to talk about National Women's Health Week. She was in the band Destiny Child with Beyonce. Also, beef stroganoff for your dog. Pet food is going upscale. And all the places where moms can get free food and discounts and coupons on Mother's Day. We'll have that list in about 20 minutes. A warning for college commencement speakers. Most of your listeners are not interested in your politics. They want to hear your wisdom, experiences, anecdotes, and things like sincerity and, of course, humor. USA Today national correspondent Rick Hampson says mentions of President Trump and party politics have been conspicuously absent from the speeches that already have been given. Rick, what are you hearing?
Well, Gordon, last year, 2016, the commencement season had a lot of attacks on Donald Trump. He was only the presumptive GOP nominee then for president. But Ken Burns, the documentary filmmaker, sort of the voice of authority, really had some harsh words for him at Stanford. He he never mentioned Trump's name, but he accused him of an incipient proto-fascism, as well as being a jingoistic saber-rattler and with dictatorial tendencies. And other people, Matt Damon at MIT, Elizabeth Warren at Suffolk University, Spike Lee at Johns Hopkins, said he had nightmares about Trump starting World War III. So we wondered, well, what's it going to be like this year when the man is president? Mm. But so far, the speakers we've talked to and the ones that have already spoken are not mentioning Trump.
And is that of their own design, or is that college bigwig saying, we don't want any of that here?
Well, to some extent, certainly not the latter. Nobody's telling them what to say. But in doing this story, you find out that a lot of commencement speakers are first-time speakers. And so naturally, the first thing you do is say, you know, what do I do? It seems like a big assignment and a tough one. And the first thing they're all told is, it's not about you. Mm. So many of them have concluded from that, that whatever their political preferences are, it's about the graduates. And also sort of a more eternal, lasting message rather than one about, you know, today's partisan politics. So they talk about all sorts of things other than Trump.
Okay. So have the guidelines changed? Does it generally leave the politics out?
Well, there are no guidelines per se, but I think that the way speakers have interpreted the challenge of a commencement speech in the spring of 2017 says, don't talk about Trump. Don't talk about party politics. Talk about something else. The man who will be speaking at Providence College is going to remember his own graduation from Providence in the Vietnam War year of 1970 and what that was like. The man who will be giving the speech at Hillsdale College in Illinois said he's not going to talk about Trump. He says his only question is whether to talk about Milton or Dante or Dr. Samuel Johnson. So he's dwelling on a different level. Each of these speakers seems to have simply taken a different tack other than speaking about the thing that's really, in some ways, on everybody's mind,
yeah,
which is Trump.
Mm. How about humor?
Well, make them laugh is always the gold standard. I interviewed an expert, a connoisseur of commencement speeches, who has a whole website dedicated to the best ones, and she says funny speeches are best, which, as you know, is easier said than done.
Right.
Fareed Zakaria, the CNN analyst, said he didn't really want to talk about Trump, but if he does talk about Trump, he'll do so humorously because, as he put it, there is so much about him that lends itself to humor. But the problem, of course, as he also noted, is that there's a lot of competition. So if you think you can be funny, go ahead, but it's not for everybody.
Thanks, Rick. USA Today national correspondent Rick Hampson. It's 22 minutes now in front of the hour on this weekend. Thanks for being with us. Mother's Day begins a week-long awareness campaign called National Women's Health Week. It's led by the Office on Women's Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The goal, to empower women to make their health a priority. To promote it, they've enlisted the help of Michelle Williams, singer, former member of Destiny's Child, and ambassador for the Office on Women's Health. Michelle, hi. Explain what you're doing here with National Women's Health Week.
Well, over the next year, I'll be working together with the Office on Women's Health to help women and girls just improve their overall health through nutrition, exercise, self-care, and making sure we do our yearly visits to the doctor.
What is it that you do? I mean, have you taken up kind of this as your own cause?
Oh, I wouldn't be doing it if I don't do those things myself. I also had people cracking up. I also have an accountability partner to make sure that I do some of these things listed here, like I'm supposed to work out a minimum of 3 days a week. Mm. And any days that I miss in the gym, I have to give her $25.
Really? I find that helps.
Absolutely. Having an accountability partner, because listen, you know, I don't know how you are with your friends, but women, you know, we always like to get on the phone with our girlfriends and talk about things that happened at work, or girl, yeah, did you see what happened on Facebook? Well, guess what? You need to say, girl, did you get your workout in today?
Okay.
Did you breathe? Did you meditate? Did you eat that kale salad that you've been putting off to the side? Things like that. And then you can go back to talking about things in your household or your kids, or if your spouse is getting on your nerves. You could talk about all that stuff. But make sure you're including talking about your physical health. And then how about this? Check on somebody to make sure their mental health is doing good too.
How do you do that?
Well, you have to say, how are you doing? How are you really doing? And making sure you give somebody that space to tell their truth. You know, I've been open with talking about, you know, me overcoming that ugly thing called depression.
Mm.
You know, no one wants to go through things like that. But if you notice you've been sad a little longer than you probably should, I just want to encourage you that I'm on a journey with you and that it is okay to seek professional help.
You say you battled that a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know, I've been totally open about it. And back in 2013 is when that story came out. I was actually doing an interview with someone, and we just got so comfortable talking with each other that I blurted it out.
Oh, wow.
And before you know it, it went everywhere. It was a journalist from the Associated Press. And at first I was like, oh, my God, what did I just do? What did I open up? But I remember being able to go on some of my favorite morning television show platforms, and grown men would pull me to the side with tears in their eyes, thanking me for talking about depression, because it lets them know, it lets women know as well, that it's okay.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be ashamed. It, you know, it's something you can knock out. It's something you can cope with. If it's something like a chemical imbalance, there are ways to live a healthy mental life, no matter what your diagnosis is.
We're speaking with Michelle Williams, singer, former member of Destiny's Child, also ambassador for the Office on Women's Health. We're talking about National Women's Health Week, which she's helping to promote. Give me an idea of your gym workout when you're in there minimum three times a week. What do you like to do?
So I have personal trainers. They're husband and wife duo, Claudia and Dan Stevens, in the Rockford, Illinois area, because I live in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have an amazing fitness program. So I'm working out with them, or if I'm traveling, if it's a hotel I'm staying at, I go knock out some arm workouts, biceps, triceps, some dips, squats, lunges, some cardio. Whatever it is that I can do, and I tell you, I always feel so much better than when I came in the gym. You know, sometimes in the gym, sometimes I dread going to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's another day. But I get so happy, and I feel accomplished when I get that workout in.
Very good. Treadmill or elliptical for you?
I do a treadmill warm-up, but after I did a workout the other day, I actually did some work on the elliptical.
Yeah. Easier on the joints. All right. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate a few minutes. Michelle Williams, former member of Destiny's Child, helping to promote National Women's Health Week. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Pet food companies are selling dishes such as meat lasagna that look and smell like human food. In fact, Mars, maker of the new pet food line Caesar Home Delights, set one key goal, and that's to make it look less like wet dog food. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury in London. Sabra, what's trending?
The companies want all the nutrients that a pet needs, but they want it packaged in a way that looks and smells good to human beings.
Got it. So who's doing what here? Who's throwing out some interesting dishes?
So the biggest two companies are Mars and Nestle. Those are the world's two biggest pet food companies. Between the two of them, they actually dominate about 50% of the pet food market. So far and away the biggest players. And they are both looking very heavily at this. Mars, a couple of years ago, rolled out a new line called Caesar Home Delights. And they say the focus of that line is to deliver dishes that literally look and smell like human food, but are balanced to be nutritionally right for pets. And so they've spent money on, you know, looking at the flavor, looking at the texture. So they've rolled out things like a beef stroganoff or a meat lasagna. And then you have people like Nestle, who they've taken an existing line like Fancy Feast, which is cat food, and they've come up with ways to make it more gourmet, more premium, kind of look better to human beings. So the Fancy Feast pâté has three colors in it, and that insight came from a workshop that they did with a human food chef who basically said, you know, people like to see three or more colors in food. That's a good reference point for them. And so even though cats are partly colorblind, Nestle actually went ahead and, made sure that three or more colors were visible in this cat party, just because they found that it spoke better to human beings.
Wow. Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sabara Chowdhury, consumer goods reporter based in London. Her piece is called Beef Stroganoff for Your Dog, Pet Food Goes Upscale. All right, so with the word upscale in the headline, that to me says expensive. What kind of price comparisons are there to say the regular stuff we might buy?
Yeah, so it's all across the board. I think in some cases they're trying to keep the prices down, but obviously this is a good excuse to say, you know, if it looks better to you, maybe you'll be willing to pay a little bit more. So one of the examples that we had was a dog food brand that actually, it's under the Merrick brand, Nestle sells it, and it can cost up to $10 a day to feed your Labrador. Whoa. These cans of food, because wow, it's about $2.50 per can, and the serving suggestion is about four cans per average Labrador. So that comes in flavors like Grammy's pot pie and Thanksgiving Day dinner, and has ingredients like sweet potatoes, Granny Smith apples, that sort of stuff. I think, again, in an attempt to reel people in.
It's Wall Street Journal reporter Sabara Chowdhury in London. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this weekend. Mother's Day is the most popular day to eat out each year, and restaurants around the country are taking notice. Here are some of the best freebies your mom can get this Mother's Day. The list is from Time.com. You got Beef O'Brady's, where moms eat for free up to a $10 value at participating locations. The Brazilian steakhouse chain Fogo de Chão is giving out a gift card for a complimentary meal, good through mid-July. Hooters, you know, if that's your thing for Mother's Day, is giving moms a free entree at participating locations. The Melting Pot, the fondue restaurant here, is offering free mimosa drinks for parties with at least three other guests at their table. Mimi's, on top of a special menu for brunch, mothers who dine at the restaurant will get a free entree for their next visit. Any mom who eats at the Southern restaurant chain Shoney's on Mother's Day can get a free slice of strawberry pie. At Spaghetti Warehouse, in locations in New York, Tennessee, Texas, and Ohio, a free spaghetti and meatballs meal to take home with the purchase of a separate Mother's Day meal. Happy Mother's Day. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.